Sorry, I forgot something. Dr. Marty Duncan.
It's great to have a little brother like Scott. Now, I want you to know I've already gotten my instructions this morning. How many of you know that there is tape up here on the stage? I have been told to stay in the square. Now, if you have ever heard me preach before, that is going to be impossible for me to do. But what a blessing it is for me to be here at Harmony Grove Baptist Church. The message I have for you, and I'm going to watch these steps. They are steep. My wife gets nervous every time my foot gets right here. She knows I'm going to do a tumble, and I'm going to jump up and say it was in the Spirit, praise the Lord. Thank you, folks, for sitting up in the first and second row. I won't spit any farther than the third, so you are good to go. But what a blessing it is to be in this house this morning and to share God's Word with you. The message I'm about to bring to you this morning is one that I truly feel the Holy Spirit wants you to hear today. It's a message I preached. Actually, it was probably the last message I preached when I stepped from the pulpit and retired. By the way, there's no such thing, Scotty, as retiring from the work of the Lord. And the message is simply this. Let me reintroduce you to Jesus. It's an introduction. We're going to be in Acts chapter 3 this morning, so if you'd like to go there. And I'm going to be in different various versions of the Word of God this morning, different translations. So I'm going to ask you to follow along with me. Now, when we think about an introduction, how many of you this morning, just by a raising of hands, I had the opportunity to meet you this morning in the back, or I came around and introduced myself to you. How many of you? I did my best to do that. I did more than that. Come on, put your hands up here. You're allowed to do that in a Baptist church. Put your hands up. Amen? All right. Now I'm going to go up and down these steps. So we make an introduction to ourselves. Is that right? Now, years ago, I worked for an agency. It was the Florida Highway Patrol. I retired as a major, worked in the governor's office. The Lord had called me to preach just before I retired, went on to seminary, and the rest is history. But the reality is when I would be at headquarters, folks knew that I was coming into the office by the cologne that I wore. How many believe that your cologne should make an introduction when you come into the room? Ladies, many of you make an introduction before you get into the room, amen, by your perfume. And I think it should make a welcoming introduction. Well, many folks used to know me by the cologne that I would wear. I used to wear Jupe. Any men wear Jupe in this house? J-O-O-P. Well, that was the cologne that I used to wear. So they would know that I was coming. And I thought to myself, I'm going to have to change up my cologne. I'm going to change up my cologne so they won't know I'm coming. So I will have to reintroduce myself to them. This morning, I believe, is a great message. Many of you know about Jesus Christ. In fact, you know the story. You celebrate Christmas, right? That's when the church is filled. Then we celebrate Easter. That's when the church is filled again, right? You've heard the story over and over again, as well as many other people have heard the story of Jesus Christ. But this morning, I believe the message is very important. I think it's very pointed because I want to reintroduce him to you today. In a way that maybe you have never truly understood, that Jesus Christ not only came to give you life, but he came to give you an abundant life. Thank you, Tommy, so much for the music this morning, how that set tied into this message. But here's what I'd like to do. First and foremost, I want you to see on the screen the definition of introduction. What is it? Well, it's very simple. It's a formal presentation of one person to another, and which each of us will hold dear to that name. We get to learn each other's names. So I want to do something different at Harmony Grove Baptist Church this morning. Can we do this? This is a big deal when I'm at Fellowship of the Hills. Would you all do me a favor? How many of you know everybody in the house this morning? Not one person raised your hand. That means that there's somebody you don't know. And I'll bet maybe, I hope you know the person you're sitting next to. Amen? But maybe there's someone behind you that you don't know. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up for a moment, just for a moment now. Don't take up all the preaching time. And I want you to meet that person behind you. Would you do that for me this morning? Oh, you guys did a great job. You did a great job. Thank you so much. Okay, don't get carried away now. Some of you are running from pew to pew. All right. Now, here's the next thing. How many of you had to reintroduce yourself to someone? In fact, you probably knew the face of the person that you saw behind you, but you could not remember their name. You see, a reintroduction is the act of putting something or someone that we've already met before, that we used to know before, and reintroducing ourselves to them. It wasn't too long ago, shortly before I retired at Fellowship, and I'm pretty well known in the community after being here 18 years and planting a church and seeing what God's doing. So Susan and I happened to be in Walmart, and this lady walks up and she says, "Pastor Marty, oh, it's so great to see you. I hear you're retiring from Fellowship, and we so look forward to seeing you down the road." And she just went on and on and on, and the whole time I'm thinking, I have no idea who this is. And then, of course, she walks away, and Susan says, "Who was that?" I said, "I've got no idea who that was. Do you know her?" She says, "I don't know her either." Now, there are times I have walked into our church, Scott. I don't know if this ever happened to you. I've walked into our church, and someone will grab my hand, and they'll say, "Pastor Marty, boy, it's just great to see you." And I've told Susan, when someone does that, she sees this blank look on my face, to go and introduce herself, so I will get to hear their name, and I won't be embarrassed by not knowing their name. Has that happened to you, Pastor Scott?
Introduce myself to my wife.
Oh, my goodness. So the message this morning is about the introduction, the reintroduction of who Jesus Christ is. Now, I need to ask a very pointed question this morning. How many of you came into this house? You've been here time and time again at Fellowship. Or excuse me. See, it's going to take a while for me to get used to that. You've been time and time again at Harmony Grove. And it's just the same old thing. And I'm not talking about the same old thing, same old story. I mean, it's just become mundane. It's become routine. You don't come in expecting something to happen. Pastor Scott, I believe that every time we walk into the doors of this house, we should expect something to happen. We should expect God to do something amazing in the house today. And that's my prayer. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3. We're going to talk about a lame man. And just to kind of set the tone as an introduction, this lame man for 40 years has been carried and placed at this temple gate called Beautiful. They say that this gate was at the eastern side of Jerusalem, and it was absolutely gorgeous, built of bronze. I believe that the gate was beautiful because something happened at that gate. A miracle took place. This is a beautiful facility. How many of you want something incredible to happen in this beautiful place? Amen? So this lame man for 40 years has been carried from birth, and he's been set at this gate, and he's been begging all the time. And he's probably heard the story over and over again about those that are going into the temple to pray. But this day, this day at that temple gate called Beautiful, something is going to happen that was unexpected. Now I want you to write this down. And I believe when you write something down, I was taught this in an English class back when I was in high school. I was taught that when you write something down, you're much more likely to remember it. In fact, Pastor Scott, you were sharing a moment ago that you graduated about 29 years ago. When I graduated, it was many, many, many years ago. We were still using chalk on the chalkboard when I graduated. In fact, so much that I remember that my teacher, as a young boy, for me to remember things, she would make me go to the chalkboard and write 20 times. How many of you are old enough to remember that? Don't chew gum. Don't talk in class. So I learned that when I write things down, I'm much more likely not to forget it. So I want you to write this down this morning. Jesus has the same power that he had when he was born as God in a babe in a manger. Jesus has the same power when he walked out of the tomb. And Jesus has the same power of the healing that he did with this lame man to heal today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Acts chapter 3, will you pick up with me please at verse number 1. Notice what it says in that first verse. One day. Again, maybe Sunday after Sunday, you come to church, and it seems like it's the same old thing. Monday after Monday, life becomes mundane. But notice, this is very important that the Scripture says one day. How many of you want that one day to be today? How many of you want that one day to be something different, something that's unexpected in your life? You see, one day, as the scripture says, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. It says that it was about the ninth hour. It was in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame at birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to what, church? Beg. Just imagine his life. Every day, these men would pick him up and they would carry and they would place him by the temple gate for all of his life so he could beg for sustenance, beg for something, just to get him through life. You see, to him, it was just another day. Just another day. But notice the scripture says, one day. That's important for us to see that. Because this day is going to be a different day. Something's going to happen on this day that he did not expect to happen. He was going to be introduced to two men who would introduce him to someone named Jesus that was going to change his life. You see, one day as this man was left there at the temple gate, and as he was begging, notice as we continue in the scripture, it says, for those were going in and out of the temple courts. Now, what was interesting is they passed by this man every day. Pastor Scott, what a tragedy it would be for us as followers of Jesus Christ to come in and out of the temple every day to pass by that one that has a need, that one that needs healing, that one that needs restoration. Can I share something with you, church, that they're out there? They're at your temple gate, and they have a need. But how many of us pass by them every day? Because it's the same old day, same old Sunday. This is what we do. But this day, something different is going to happen. In verse number 3, it says, when he saw Peter and John. Now, just imagine this. Just imagine that this man had been placed at the gate at Harmony Grove, or he'd been placed at the gate of Fellowship of the Hills, or First Baptist, First United Methodist, and he'd seen the same people every Sunday coming in and out of the gate to pray. But this day, he sees two men that he had never seen before, Peter and John. Now, remember, he'd been begging from the same people all the time. Yes or no, church? Yes, he'd seen the same folks. But this day, he saw two people that were different. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd have been that dude laying at the gate begging and I saw somebody new, I'd have thought, man, maybe something different is going to happen today. Maybe I'm going to get a little bit more change for my life. See, he was just wanting a little change to get him through life. He didn't expect there was going to be a change that would change his life. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you came into this house Sunday after Sunday, seeing the same people you've always seen. But deep down inside, you're dealing with a situation in your life. And all you want is just a change. You just want someone maybe to encourage you, maybe someone to pray with you, or maybe someone to introduce you to the one who can make the change in your life. You see, that's who this man was. He saw Peter and John. He saw someone new, and maybe something different was going to happen on this day. In verse number 4, it says, Peter looked straight at him. How many of you know that that would have caught your attention as well? Someone at the temple gate, couldn't get up, lame from birth. He was begging for alms, as the Word of God says. He was begging for money. It would catch your attention, would it not, church? So Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And notice in this verse, Peter says, look at us. Peter says to this lame man, hey, look up here. Now, I want you to write this down. I want you to remember this. Maybe the situation in your life is something that you're constantly looking at. It's something that you're constantly focused on. I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it's a physical healing that you need. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's restoration. Maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe it's a wayward child. I don't know what it is. Just like this lame man who was just looking for some change just to get through the next day. Notice what Peter says. I want you to put your focus on me for a moment. Maybe this morning you need to take your eyes off of your situation and put your eyes on the Lord. You see, that's what Peter was trying to get him to do, to get him to take his eyes off of the situation and focus on them. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to what it is I have to say. So you picture this lame man. Notice in the Word of God, it says, so the man, in verse number 5, it says, so the man gave attention to Peter and John, expecting to get something. I'll bet he was, right? I'll bet he was expecting maybe to get something in a relationship, maybe to money or something that he had not gotten from others before. These guys are new. Maybe they'll feel sorry for me. This man tells me to pay attention, to look at him. So he looks up at him. Now notice this. This is almost cruel. Notice what the scripture says. Verse number 6, then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. Now that'd be kind of depressing, wouldn't it? I mean, here it is, you're begging for change, begging for something just to get you through life. This guy tells you to focus on him. And then you say, sorry, buddy, I don't have any money. How many of you have been, really? Would you have said that? I would have. I'd have been upset. But notice what Peter says. Peter says, silver and gold I have none but. Now, I've told our congregation year after year, when the Word of God puts a but in there, you need to pay attention. Because there's something that you need to hear. There's something that you need to pay attention to. And I want you to notice what Peter says. Peter says, silver and gold I have none, but what I have to give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Wow. I just wanted some change. And what you're telling me is that this Jesus of Nazareth has something different for me? You see, I didn't expect this today. You're telling me that he wants me to, what church?
Walk.
So notice what the scripture says. Peter reaches down and takes him by the hand, helps him up, and instantly the man's feet and his ankles became strong. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have been a shouting moment at our church. Amen? Where's that fellow at? Dude, can you come sit at the front row for me just to encourage me on? Now, listen. I don't want you to miss this. Let's capture this for a minute. Let's just make sure that we do a little recap so we don't miss this. Let's summarize, all right? Because I want you to see this. Every day, the man was placed at the temple gate. Every day, the same old people walked by. Every day, he had the same condition. It never changed. But this one day was different. This one day, he met two men who would share with him something that would change his life forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that in my life. I want that one to share with me the thing that will change my life forever. And you know what? Church, can I tell you this? All of us that claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior have that very one that we can share with that one that needs to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us has it. I love this. Again, let's summarize. Peter said, look at us. Peter wanted that man to get his focus off of his need, to get his focus off of the situation, the troubles, the dire situation that he was in his life, whatever it was that maybe is in your life. Right now, the Lord's saying, get your focus off of your problem. I want you to look up at me. You know, so many of us want to wallow in our pity, don't we? We just want to stay right there. We just want someone to give us a little bit just to get us through the day. But my question is, do you really want to get up and walk? Do you really want to get out of the situation? Do you really want to get out of the crisis? Do you want to really get out of the problem and the troubles that you're facing today? So Peter says, look up. Take your focus off of that right now. Get your focus off of your problem. And then what did Peter do? Peter reached down. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 and 2, David has gone through this situation in his life. And this is what the scripture says. It says, he reached down, he picked me up, and he set my feet on a solid rock. David said, God is always reaching down. Now, let me ask you a question. Peter reached down to help this man up. But what did that man have to do? Come on, church, tell me, what did he have to do? He had to reach up. Number one, take your focus off of your situation. Put your focus on Christ. Number two, God's always reaching down. Are you willing to reach up? And then here's the third part of that. The third part of that, notice this. Don't miss this. He's looking up. He's reaching up. Notice this. Verse number 8, he jumped to his feet. He got up. It says he jumped to his feet and he began to walk. I don't know about you, but what I see here is a man that when he was healed, he didn't have to think about crawling first. He didn't have to think to himself, you know what? These men are reaching down and they're telling me in the name of Jesus, I can walk. I really don't think I can do that. I don't think that's possible. That's never happened before. I mean, after all I get is money. But these two men are giving me something. I'm going to kill myself on that. These two men, and then you're going to have to pick me up. These two men were sharing something that was going to change his life. But he had to look up. He had to reach up. And then he had to get up. You know what I call that? Faith. Faith. That man had to have the faith to believe in what these two men were sharing with him about this man called Jesus would really change his life. How many of you believe that this morning? Can I ask that question again? How many of you really believe that this morning? I have been in the ministry now for over 20 years. I was ordained in a Southern Baptist church, finished seminary. Seems like I've been to school in all my life. And they said, well, Pastor Marty, you're retired. No, I'm just retreading. Just putting a new set of tires on the car to do the journey that God has ahead. You know why? Because as long as I have breath to breathe, people need to hear about the one who can forever change their life. You know what I love about this guy? This lame man? He didn't question what it was that Peter and John were giving him. He didn't have to think about it. And you know what else he didn't do? He didn't stay where he was. He got up and walked. He was jumping around. How many of you this morning, again, I want you to think about this. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you came into this house with this morning. I would promise you, with the size of this congregation, numbers, statistics will reveal this to be true. Some of you in this house this morning are dealing with a crisis in your life. And you're wanting a change. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll look up, if you'll give it to the Lord, and then if you'll reach up and grab His hand and let Him stand you up, you can walk away from it. You can walk away from it. And your life will be forever changed. Now I want you to notice what this man did. It says he jumped up. And when he jumped up, look at this. It says that when he jumped up, he began praising God. He wasn't praising Peter and John. He was praising God from where the healing came from. And then in verse number 9 it says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. You see, this man went into the temple. Now, here's what's interesting about that. And this is for all of us. This is for pastors. This is for everyone who claims Christ as their Savior. Once they brought the message of Christ to him, let's just say that Scotty, this man received Christ as his Savior. They didn't leave him there. It's not like, listen, man, you've received Christ. You're on your own now. Go find your good church. Get involved. They welcomed him into the temple. And he went into the temple. And what did he do in the temple? What did he do in the temple, church? Come on, help me out. Praising God. How many of you remember that moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior? Does anybody in the house remember that? How many remember how excited you were? You wanted to what? Tell everybody. Until you came to church and you met that crusty Christian. How many of you have met some crusty Christians? Amen. I've had them in every church I've been in. You know who they are. Especially as a pastor, you go to them and they'll say, "Brother Marty, it's good to see you today. I hope you're better than last Sunday. Thank you very much." You know who they are. Or they'll meet you at the end of the door and says, "That was a good one today. Looking forward to next week. I wonder if it'll be better." Amen. We used to, when I was in the patrol, I was a young trooper, just got released from my field training officer. And I got to be honest with you, there wasn't enough hours in the day for me to write all the tickets I wanted to write. I enjoyed my job. And I remember his name was Coot Parrish. His name was actually Robert, and they called him Coot, and there was a reason behind that because he was an old coot. But Bob Parrish called me up and he says, "Marty," he says, "Trooper Duncan, I want you to meet me at the Pompano Service Plaza." And I said, "Okay," and I'm excited. I'm thinking this guy's going to welcome me on board. So I get to the Pompano Service Plaza, and buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I was dressed to the nines when it came to uniform. Everything was spit polished. It was shined up. And old Coot, he was probably 40, 50 pounds overweight. His bubble hung over his gun belt, and you could tell what he ate for lunch the last 3 days on his shirt. He was an old-timer. He'd been on the job almost 30 years. He needed to go. And I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, what words of wisdom will Trooper Parrish give to this young trooper? And he looked at me across the table, and he says, "Don't be writing so many tickets. You're making us look bad." I said, "What does that mean?" He says, "You know exactly what it means. Now get out there and slow it down." And I thought to myself, they're paying me to do a job I love to do. And there's not enough hours in the day to stop all those folks that speed. Amen? You've met them in church, right? "Man, I just want you to know, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm so excited for what He has for me." Well, just keep going to church, and then you're going to die, and you're going to get to go to heaven. So that's pretty much it. Have you met them? "But I want to get involved in a Sunday school or a life group study." Oh, I've been there. You know, if you come on Sunday and hear Pastor Scotty preach, it's pretty much the same thing. You've met them, right?
Yes.
But you see, that's not what Peter and John did. You see, that lame man went into the temple, and what did he do? He started praising the Lord. You know what we need in our churches today? We need people who are on fire for Jesus Christ and aren't afraid to come into the church and praise the Lord for what He's done in their life. Amen. Where are they at? Where are they at? Man, we ought to be praising the Lord every day for what He's done. You know why? Because He has changed my life forever. And I look forward to the change He has for tomorrow and all of those things that He has in store for my life. This man came in and he was praising God. And I want you to notice verse number 10. They recognized him. I call them the old crusty Christians. They recognized who he was. They saw him. Now here's my question for you, church. How come they didn't share Jesus with him? How come? Why didn't they do that? It says that they recognized him as the same man who was that he was sitting and begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. You know what I tell our church? Scotty, I don't know if you've ever said this. How many of y'all have prayer meetings? Y'all get together and you pray, right? You don't? Okay, you need to start a prayer meeting service. They said they don't pray. We pray, right? How many of us pray and don't expect anything to happen? Isn't that true? Isn't that sad? I told our church, if you're going to pray for it, then you need to believe God's going to do something about it. You see, God's going to answer you in three ways. He's going to say yes, He's going to say no, or He's going to say wait. Yes, no, or wait. That's the way God answers prayer. You may say, "Man, I've been praying for this and praying for this, and nothing's happening." Then you need to wait. Wait on the Lord. This man was at that temple gate for all of his life, just waiting for his life to change. But one day it changed. Let me ask you this question. Why would you ever pray for something and not believe God has the power to do it? Why would you do that? You see, I believe when I pray that I'm going to the Almighty Heavenly Father. In fact, that's how we were taught to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're praying to the Holy, the one and only God who created the universe, who keeps this big blue marble in space. I'm glad he does that. I think it'd be funny one day if all of a sudden the Lord says, I think I'm going to take my hand off the world just for a moment and see how many of them spin off the earth. Wouldn't it be cool to see that one day? The Lord holds gravity in place, right? Can you imagine just one day the Lord says, just for a second, let's take gravity off and see what happens. But he holds it in place. If my God can do that, my God can do anything. He can make a lame man walk. But those people who had seen that man every day at the temple gate, the Word of God, notice what it says. It says they were amazed and at wonder at what he had done, what God had done, what had happened in his life. Now, interesting part of this message is it's not over. I mean, what an incredible miracle, right? What an incredible miracle. But you see, it's not over because Peter has something to say to the church. Verse number 12. When Peter saw this, he said to them, now, you need to put your seatbelt on for this. Imagine if your pastor stood before the church after God had done something in your fellowship that you had been praying for, and then all of a sudden everybody's, oh, that's awesome, that's amazing. And it is, amen, church? It's amazing when we get to witness a miracle, but we should expect it to happen. Now, buckle up, because let's see what Peter has to say. He says, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? I love that. Can you imagine? Pastor Scott, you've been praying for something in the church, and then everybody's excited, and Pastor Scott says, fellow Harmony Grove members, why does that surprise you? Should that surprise us, church? Come on, help me out. Should it surprise us? No, because we should expect God to be God. Let me ask you a question. The Jesus that healed this lame man, is it the same Jesus that can do healing today? The same Jesus that saved my life, and I pray saved your life, can he still save other lives? Church, we need to be excited. And Peter says to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you dare stare at us as if you're our own power of godliness? We made this man walk. In other words, we didn't do this. The very God, the very Jesus. In fact, notice what he says here. It says, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Oh, let's buckle up here. Notice what he says. He says, you know, you remember this Jesus. He's the one you had him killed. Hey, y'all remember that group, right? You remember when Jesus had done all of these healings and these amazing things, and on Palm Sunday they were celebrating him, hoping he was going to be the new king, but they wanted a physical king and they wanted an earthly king. Wasn't really a savior that they wanted. And then when it came to that time and Pilate stood before this same crowd, and he says, what do you want me to do with this Jesus? What do they yell out, church? Crucify him. Peter says, you remember that Jesus, right? The one that you turned over to be killed and you disowned him before Pilate? And though he had decided to let him go, you disowned the holy and righteous one and you asked that murderer to be released. You killed the author of life, Peter says. But you see, God raised him from the dead. By the way, the Jesus that I serve is the same Jesus that walked out of the tomb. Amen, church? Amen. You turned him over to be killed. But God raised him from the dead. And he says, we're all witnesses of that. And then he goes on and he says, look at verse number 16. Circle this, underline this in your Word of God. By faith. By faith. It wasn't any power that that Peter and John had. It was the power of Jesus Christ. It was by the faith of this man that believed Jesus Christ could actually make him walk, could actually heal him. It was by faith that he was able to walk. It says, by faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man whom you see now was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. Now again, I got to ask this question in this church this morning. How many believe that we serve the same Jesus of yesterday, today? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior? I just want you to think about that for a moment. How many of you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior? You've called out to Him. That means you have trusted Him for your eternal life. Amen, church? But how many of us are trusting Him for the next minute of our life? We go through life mundane, day in, day out. We come to church Sunday, and we've come and we've become so accustomed to what we think in our physical life, this is the way church should be. And I'm here to tell you that I believe before Jesus Christ calls us home, there's going to be another great revival in this nation or in this world. And my question is, will it be with Harmony Grove Baptist Church? Will it be with Fellowship of the Hills? Will it be with First Baptist? Will it be with First United Methodist? Will it be with Liberty Baptist Church? Will it be with those people who finally get excited about Jesus Christ, like this lame man, and stand up and say, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to tell everybody what He did. I don't know about you, but I want to tell everybody what Jesus Christ did in my life. You see, that's what Peter was saying. It's by faith that Jesus did this in his life. And then we slide on down to verse number 19. Verse number 19, notice what Peter says to him. He says, repent. He tells the church to repent. And you know what I think, church? When I say church, I'm talking about that's every believer who follows Jesus Christ. That's the body of Christ. That's the church. I think we as a church, all of us, myself included, we need to repent. We need to repent and we need to turn our eyes on God so that our sins may be wiped away, as Peter says here, that a time of refreshing would come in the Lord, that He might send the Messiah who's been appointed to us, the one and only Jesus. How about you this morning? How many of you say, you know what? It's time for me to get out of my condition. It's time for me to quit wallowing in the pit, as David said in Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. It's time, like this lame man, to look up. It's time to reach up and let God pull me out of the pit. And then it's time to get up and go out and do what God's called me to do and to praise His name. You see, I don't know where you're at today. And I don't know how this message will affect you. I know how it's affected me. I know how it affected me when the Lord brought it to me to preach it 6 months ago. And then He brought it to me this week as I was telling Pastor Scott, I believe this is the message that the Lord wants me to bring to Harmony Grove this week. And I believe it's a message that needs to be heard in many churches across America and across the world. That it's time for us to start looking up. It's time for us to start reaching up. And it's time for us to start getting up and praising God. Now again, I don't know your condition this morning. In fact, why don't you do this for me this morning? Why don't you just, right there where you're at, so you're not focused on anything else, would you just do this for me this morning? Would you just bow your head? Close your eyes, and I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. I want you to look within your heart and your soul. Again, I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're struggling with. There's a possibility that we have many in this room this morning who've confessed Christ as their Savior, but man, they're struggling with this situation in their life. Maybe it's a besetting sin. It's something that, you know, you haven't released it yet. Maybe it is healing. Maybe there's a physical. Maybe you just found out something from the doctor this week. No one else knows about it, just you. And man, you're so burdened by that right now. Maybe in the financial climate that we're living in today, you're barely making ends meet. No one else knows about it. You're having to use this credit card and that credit card and everything else just to get by. You don't want to ask anybody for help.
Right now you're struggling. Maybe as I saw these teens up here this morning, you're struggling because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know which way to go, and you're just looking for someone to give you some counsel, to mentor you. Well, right where you're at, why don't you look up right now? Just look up to Christ. Just call on His name. And just say, Lord, right now, I want to release this. I want to turn this over to You. I'm reaching up right now, and I'm handing it to You, Lord, as You're reaching down and You're taking it. And Father, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, I'm going to trust in You. I'm not going to lean anymore on my understanding, Lord. I'm going to lean on Your understanding. I'm going to surrender it to You. And then, my dear friend, you need to get up and walk away from it. Maybe some of you are still living in the guilt. You've been saved for years, but the devil's reminding you of your guilt in your past. My dear friend, you've been saved from that. That's yesterday's news. Today is a new day. Walk in the newness of Christ today. Maybe you're in this house this morning and you've heard sermon after sermon, message after message, but you've never called on Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never asked Him to be your Lord and you're wondering why life is so mundane, why everything's to be, it's such turmoil for you. You know, the Word of God says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, not a month from now, not a year from now. Right now, you're given this opportunity to call on the name of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, those that call on His name by faith believing shall be saved. Now, I'm going to pray with you. Then I'm going to ask Pastor Scott and his deacons and his elders to come up here. And I want to encourage you to come and pray. You say, well, Marty, what if somebody sees me? I've been in this church for a long time. You know what? That lame man stood out at that gate for 40 years and he wasn't embarrassed to walk into the temple and praise God for what God had done in his life. Maybe you just need to come pray this morning. Maybe you need to come up here and tell Pastor Scott, today is the day of salvation for me and I want to tell the church that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. I'm going to sing a song called He Touched Me, and as I sing that song, I'm going to invite you to come. Pastor Scott.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.